today is the 30th, the 31st. So it's 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks, but we inside will be 3 weeks. I'm sure we've been victorious in all of our parties in all our areas. You know, look at even what Iran looks happy. But it's just a DA and the ANC here today, so you all look happy, so it's understandable. Yeah, but it's actually good for democracy to have more Yana parties. It's sad. I'm sure as parties we're not very sad to see them party. But for the sake of democracy, it's not a good thing. And so, if we look at the agenda today, coming to the business of the day, honourable members, we have three issues to discuss, and not basically discussion, but if you look at the deliberations and the adoption of the committee report on the MDGs, which is extremely important. Then the adoption of the committee report on SASA for the 2009-2010 annual report. And the adoption of minutes. Now, any apologies, committee secretary?
There's an apology from member Mafolo. She is running late for the meeting. The other one is for Honorable Gome. She's not won't be able to be with us today. And she's on sick leave. The third one is Honorable Kenny, who also debating on health today. So she won't be with us. Member Makuba indicated that she's on her way. She'll join us later. And I believe Honorable Lamola as well. Our researcher, Chairperson, indicated that she's been booked off. She's got a big ache. So she's not with us. Thanks.
Wish all those that are sick well. I hope that the committee has noted that it's not only the older people that give back kicks, but also the younger ones. honourable members, can we go to the report on the MDGs? Before we proceed with the committee report, there's just some oversight that we just need to correct quickly, and I'll give the committee secretary just to announce.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I just want to indicate or tender my apology around the documentation that I forwarded to you. Instead of providing you with a report on MDGs, only forwarded the review. So I just want to ask for an apology around that, and the report is here now. Yes, Chairperson. Thanks.
Can we distribute that report quickly before we proceed? Otherwise, it has been distributed. Okay, thanks. I think you between yourself and your Lisa, you just have to do a double checking again in the future, please. In terms of the MDG, the Portfolio Committee on Social Development deliberated on the report on the 19th of April. The Portfolio Committee on Social Development was briefed by the Department of Social Development on the progress it has made in meeting the Millennium Development Goals, and we will then go into the goals that has specific bearings on social development, which is Millennium Development Goals 1, 4, and 5. Now, in terms of the department, if you look at the MDGs of the, you look at one, which is to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, but it also then indirectly contribute towards the achievement of goal 2, goal 6, and all the other goals, up to goal 8. Now, the department's mandate covers a wide spectrum of issues, and if you look at the challenges facing South African society as set out here, it's the high levels of income disparity, structural unemployment, the impact of HIV and AIDS, and the recent global economic recession. Now, in terms of progress reported, in terms of goal 1, we, in terms of absolute poverty, we can see that the proportion of people living in absolute poverty as measured by the threshold of $1 to $2.5 a day has declined. So there's a decline in income poverty. The poverty gap, the South Africa has effectively more than half the population living below the poverty line. And this suggests that South Africa has met then goal 1. The poverty gap ratio declined from 3.3 in 2000 to 1.1 in 2006 at the $1 per day person per day threshold. So with your new census coming up now in 2011, I'm sure it will also show us what the figure is up to date. So this one is the official figure. Studies carried out by, among others, Statistics of Africa, the presidency's 15-year review suggest that the social assistance program, which is the single most important driver of the decline in poverty, has had a significant impact on reducing poverty, redistributing income, and reducing inequality. Now, of the 2.5 recipients in 94 to over 40 million in 2010, the rapid expansion of the social assistance program account for the growth in expenditure levels of the poor. So the most notable expansion has been that of the child support grant, and we know that it now has expanded from up to the age of 18, which will then cover all your school children, the school going age of children from 0 to 18. If we look at the second last bullet, the percentage of the population living below the poverty line of 148 in 2000 and 209 equivalent in 2006 declined from 28.5% to 24.8% respectively. The proportions of males living below the food poverty line declined from 26.7% to 22.9%. while the number of females living below the line declined from 30.2% to 26.4% between 2000 and 2006. Now, I think what we should note here, and maybe when we come to resolutions, is we can see that the women who are also the carers of families are living. The percentage of women living below the poverty line is higher than those of men, right? And and we know that women care the most fair. You have more single female-headed households than you have male-headed households. So, the distribution of food parcels to needy households through the social relief of distress plays an important role in relieving incidents of poverty. The expanded public works program has played a significant role as short to medium term measure to creating employment, building skills, and eradicating extreme hunger and poverty. Now, in terms of the sectoral contribution, the social sector has played a significant role to reaching the EPWP target of 1 million job opportunities by 2009. So if we look at the table below, it's analysis of the poverty line and the poverty gap. So in terms of your $1 a day per person, you look at the different tiers. So clearly we can see the decline, which is quite significant. Go to, in terms of achieving universal primary education, so with the registration campaign of ECD centers, this is a significant contribution, as and we can see the statistics are there to back it up. And when you go to page 4, the expansion of the CSG, as I said earlier on, is also placed besides reducing poverty, with this goal of achieving universal primary education. It plays a role, huge role, in terms of early childhood development, but also for children up to your, through primary school, up to your secondary school level, so that children can stay in school. I think that you look at the CSG complemented with a, with free basic education and your your school feeding schemes at primary and high schools now, really makes, there's no excuse for any family and child in South Africa not to be in school. I also know that provinces, through social development, they have a school unions, a winter school program, and at the end, the beginning of the year, where they offer them shoes and uniforms and jerseys to the schools, and especially to needy children. So there is no real excuse for children not to go to school. To promote gender equality and empower women, it is reported that South Africa has made significant progress in promoting gender equality and will most likely meet all the key targets of this goal. Parity in the school system, there are more girls than boys in both secondary and tertiary education. Women's share of non-agricultural wage employment remains below half. And parity in political life, proportion of seats held by women in the national parliament increased to 25% in 1994 to 44% in 2009. I don't know now with the allocation of mayors and so on at local government level, but I think there's going to be a significant increase of women representation also at local government level. I can just say for the Northern Cape, 50% of mayors of the ANC is women, and not just the smaller Nyana municipalities, I'm talking about the big ones and your district councils. So 50% of all executive mayors are women, and 64% of all speakers are women. So now there's not to say that leadership positions are only for men, it's now for women. So 64% speakers, women, and 50% mayors. And it's also big municipalities that has huge economic power. So I don't know about the other provinces. I hope you guys are following suit, including the Western Cape.
White
woman, oh, is it?
There was
three. Oh, you have one. Yeah, it was one municipality. Is it 50% of all municipalities you've won? That's what I'm saying, 50%. No, I was on the phone. No, you don't need to respond now. I think we must add that, because the parity in political life, because they're reporting to Parliament now, it's actually really opportunistic for us to come in and make a statement on that as a committee. So keep your comment for that time.
Okay.
Now, goal 6, combat of HIV and AIDS, malaria and other diseases. Right? We know that there's been a decline in malaria. I think we're very happy with that. And also, if you look at the cross-border initiatives that we had, and I think that is where government had partnerships with the private sector, big business. Evidence suggests that the spread of HIV prevalence in South Africa may have stabilized and has declined among the 15 to 24 age cohorts since 2005, and that's very good for the youth. If this trend continues, the target with respect to the reduction of HIV infections in that age cohort is likely to be met by 2015, which is good news for us. It can be attributed to a number of HIV prevention programs, which include, among others, a number of awareness and advocacy programs run by the Department of Social Development. Through a partnership with Love Life, the department contributes to government strategy to reduce new HIV infections by 50% as contained in the National Strategic Plan for HIV and AIDS, STIs, malaria, and tuberculosis. So I'm sure the strategic plan is now up for renewal next year. In 2006, 17% of men have been tested, and in 2009, the figure has risen to 31.8%. Among women, the figure rose from 38% in 2006 to 71.2%. So we hope that this is something for us to just to mark as a committee, because we need to ask the women to up the figure for testing, and the men, we have to plead with them to really come to the party, because the 31.8% is not a very good figure. In terms of goal 8, develop a global partnership for development. The department gave us they've set out what they've been doing in terms of forming global partnerships, bilateral meetings, multilateral relations, and so on, and also the partnerships and the contact they had with international organizations. I think we've been to one of the international conferences hosted by them in Cape Town, the ISSA conference. And then in terms of the resolutions, I think that is where most of us are interested in. The department should provide the committee with a brief report reflecting the department's contribution towards achievement of goal 8 and 7. And the committee will have 6 monthly interactions with the department as a way of monitoring progress made by the department in achieving the MDGs. Now, can I just ask the committee secretary, have you received the report from the department on Millennium Goal 8 and 7? Elisa?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I received the one for goal 8. If this included, that's the one I included there.
Yeah.
For goal 7, I sent an email about 2 weeks ago. I haven't received any, and I think Lindy also spoke to Ingrid over the phone about it. So we haven't received that one for goal 7.
Who's the person that made the presentation to the committee? It was the DG?
It was Mr. Tlachwayo. I think he's a manager there.
We will write to the minister, prepare a letter for me to say that the department has failed to report to the committee on development goal 7 as requested. Okay. Honourable members, can we go to the resolution? The floor is yours. Remember the two issues that we've highlighted on representation and the HIV/AIDS testing figure that we said still needs to be done. Okay.
Any additions?
I'm sure Mr. Mahagula, you wanted to say something around the reduction in the infection rate of the age cohorts between 15 and
24. Yeah, I think the circumcising has created a number of awareness to the men. Circumcision campaign. They circumcise, and then if they started to be aware that this infection is killing. So the men now, they are away. I'm also circumcised last year.
I think Honourable Member Magagula raised a very important point that we can add to our resolutions, is to say the circumcision campaign should be intensified, because it doesn't stop you from being infected, but it reduces your infection rate tremendously, and also for men to recover from STIs and other infectious diseases. So I think when it's a part of your culture, it is a good thing to get circumcised. Can we add that as a recommendation? Because figures have shown that it does reduce. What we're saying, Honourable Member, is that the circumcision campaign for members, for boys. Well, you should start with us, with the male ones, obviously. Yeah, please. But I'm saying the circumcision campaign for men should be intensified, because of the fact that it has shown there's a reduction in infectious diseases with men that have been circumcised. But when men are influenced by this campaign, it also makes them more aware of the benefits. And men's sexual health. Yes, Honourable Member.
While you still talk about the circumcision, you also need to re-emphasize the point of being done, also to promote it to be done in the health sterile institution, like in the hospital. Because many of the circumcisions that have been done, they're done at home, not wrongly, under sterile condition. People end up being mutilated, losing their private parts. So we need to re-emphasize the importance of being done in a hospital, in a sterile environment. And the time period is 15 minutes to do the procedure.
You see, there's a problem that I have with hospitals. Because there's a campaign from I think Department of Health, also to do it where they have this traditionally, where they have your health workers going out where the young men are in the bush, and it's done in a, that's why I'm saying, a sterile environment. So the it's everything is sterilized and it's done cleanly. And people are given directions how to dress the wound and see that it's, you see. So without compromising culture, but making it safer. Mm-hmm. And that is a good thing. So where you can do it in a hospital is fine. Mm-hmm. And where you can do it in without compromising culture and doing it safely, that is also, because you also, I think the people that are running these camps are also seeing that there is a safer way to do it. Yeah, but they are doing it. That's why there's a relationship between your community health workers and the people that are running the programs.
So,
I think Honourable Kopane, she just say here in Cape Town, when you go to the airport, you will see two empty rooms there, and you feel that no, those people are doing this thing unhealthy. So I think we have to intervene on that manner. But it's not the cultural way, this thing. They are just doing it. The cultural way is where all the men will go there, and there is health facilities and all the stuff. So jointly, the health and the cultural thing, activities, they are together there. I think it's a nice way to do, because if we can just separate that, we'll be making a big mistake. The other thing is that on that, what I was going to, no, I forgot, I'll come to.
Fine. Can we will add that? I'm sure you've captured that. Okay. Then the issue of there's been a marked increase in all provinces from 2005 to 2009 in the proportion of people with HIV with access to ARVs, antiretroviral medication. So we can see there is an increase. Can the committee also say, because you remember what, do we agree? Let me ask you, let me ask honourable members, let me rephrase. We already made a statement around circumcision, but we want to say that we want to urge men to increase, to go, more men to go for testing, because the 31.8% is not a satisfactory figure. Okay? If you look at the 71.2% of women testing compared to 31.8%, we need to urge our men to test more. So can we ask the departments of health, social development, and all other NGOs to intensify the campaign for men to go and test more? Because you see, the 71.2% are also pregnant women that test at clinics and hospitals when they are pregnant. So that could also be the one, that is why women are testing. Then,
they say it takes 2 to 10 months. I also believe that, because here they say that the figure suggests that more females are infected by HIV men. Now, the thing is, we need also to have a campaign where women are going to be taught about their sexual responsibility, because they must not also just accept. They must negotiate in the relationship. They must use the condoms also. If I don't know your sexual status with my partner, I'm not going to sleep with you, or these are the rules. Because presently women, they always take, or there are those women, sexually, even the educated ones. We are in the boardroom here, we are brave, we are whatever, but when they are in the bed, we find that women, they're just subject to anything. So we need to re-emphasize that women must also take their responsibility to look after themselves. Because that is where we are lacking also. We'll always become the victim as much as women are not empowered about what is their right.
Yeah.
Just a follow-up, not only for the women to be alert on their sexual activities, but also to emphasize the alcohol or substance abuse of both men and women, because sometimes they do their activities while they're a bit insane for those drugs. So if you can emphasize that we put a campaign on this substance abuse, because most of them, they do things and the following day they're not right, because they were not even aware that what happened last night. Thank you.
I don't think the campaign will stop to encourage women to go for checking, because why the number of the women increase is that all the pregnant women, they must test.
Yeah.
And remember, the men can be pregnant. So that's why the number of the women it's going up.
Yeah.
So I think we have to encourage both the women. And because those who are not pregnant, they don't go to test. So both of them, they must be encouraged to go and make the testing, I think.
So maybe, as we've been talking about the NGOs, maybe emphasis goes to the traditional leaders and the faith organizations. Because I remember in my church last Monday, our pastor in the NE was leading the testing. And after the church, we got just the health session and educational session in the church. Now the pastor was leading on the testing and we followed. I don't know whether it was the wife is a medical doctor, but we got that program that every year we do all this government line program. If we can encourage those sectors to assist the government in doing that publicly.
Okay.
Fine, we can do that. Is there any other issues that we need to raise? Do you want to make a comment on development goal 3, promote gender equality and empower women? We say parity in political life, portion of seats held by women. So we've done very well to 44% in 2009, but we're far from being equal in terms of 50%. Can we say that although it's a good increase, but we need to make the 50% where we show that men and women are equally represented in public life, especially if you see that women are the majority of voters in South Africa? Honourable Mima Masilo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think the African National Congress is the one who's emphasizing the 50% gender equality. But as we've been appealing to other parties to do so, I think if we came up with a legislation to that effect, it will assist. If you recommend that the legislation must be put in place where parties also consider the 50%. And maybe the criteria, because you don't put the 50% women because they're women. So in most parties they say no, the men are more effective than women. We don't know whether the research has been done, whether the women can do it in the senior positions, even if they're still lacking, but at least as ANC we are trying. And it's more effective in the local government. Maybe even other national elections, because we're using this zebra issue of the list when we elect our candidates, and men, women, and at least we know that is a policy in our organization. But if we put a legislation to be effective to all the political parties in government, maybe that can improve the situation. Thank you.
Anyone else? I'm going to
Anyone else? You see, I'm just a bit careful with saying that we should have legislation, because that legislation will not fall under the ambit of this committee. It will then have to. It will then be the responsibility of women and children, with people that are supposed to. Disabilities and obviously the Committee on Justice, because it's a constitutional matter. Also. So I think what we can say is that that's why I want to give the alternative of a 50%. That we should move towards a 50% increase. There should be 50-50% by now, because it's 2011. So by 2011 there should be equal representation of men and women in public life, in political life. So there is room to increase, to up that percentage. South Africa as a nation must make use of it to show to the world that we can achieve the 50% parity in political life. Instead of going the legislation route, you see. Can we do that? Okay. Thank you, honourable members. We come to the conclusion on the NDGs.
We never talk about women regarding the economic empowerment. That is the other issue. Because women, they are so involved even in politics.
economic sphere of life, but they don't even also occupy any positions.
You see, it's not under our women's share of non-agricultural wage employment remains okay below half. Yeah, I think we can make a statement on that to say that there should be an increase, there should be there should be an intentional effort from the economic sector, which includes the agriculture, to make sure that women get their share of the agricultural, non-agricultural wage. Employment. Okay? Thank you. Honourable members, can I get a proposal for the adoption of the minutes with those amendments? Thank you, Honourable McGarver.
I move to adopt the minutes, Commissioner.
Is there
a second? Honourable Member
Thank you very much, Honourable Member Kopane. Thank you very much, members. The report on the MDGs has been adopted. The minutes are here. We're now going to the adoption of the committee report on SASA. Honourable members, that's the report we gave up to you. The Portfolio Committee on Social Development, we've looked at the annual report. Page 1 basically just deals with the content of the presentation that has been made to the committee. Right. And it also listed the key priorities. So all this is coming out of the report itself. It's not what we've said, right? Now, can we go to page 7? The committee made the following recommendations. The agency should conduct awareness campaigns to educate communities on age equalization, on the old age grant for male beneficiaries of 60 years, and the extension of the child support grant to 18-year-old beneficiaries. Okay. The agency should improve the review of social grants. The committee had expressed concerns over the lengthy review period of social grants. And the department and SASA should put more focus on monitoring and evaluation measures and on risk management, as they are critical tools to curb the challenges faced by the agency. I think it's 3 very good resolutions, recommendations. So, because the last one really takes care of all the challenges that SASA said they faced, us, even with the late submission of financial statements. Let me see. Fine. Can we get a proposal for the adoption of the minutes, please? Honourable Member Masila.
I propose adoption of the minutes.
Honourable Member.
I second.
Honourable members, we've now in the spot of the minutes of SASA. we're going to the adoption of minutes, and we're going to the minutes of the 18th of April. Members, remember we were supposed to meet last week, but we were just last week. Yeah. Present, can we just check out page one, whether we were all there. It was present, ANC, Puerta, Kenya, Malagula, Baba, Tswete, Democratic Alliance, Lamula. I think that's just when Honorable Mulo was sick. No? And the IFP and COP, Honorable Member Tome was present. Apologies, Honorable Member Kopane, Mafolo, Masilo, Makuba, and Honorable Member Paulson. Officials, here's a list of officials. It was the briefing on the MDGs. And then just a summary of the deliberations. And then we also adopted the committee report on the report of the South African Human Rights Commission. Adoption of the committee report, the NDA. Is it resolutions or recommendations?
Chairperson, we had a discussion with the manager around whether it should be recommendations or resolution. The advice was that the committee should make a resolution and then the before. Can you elaborate more?
She advised us as per parliamentary rules that if it's something that the committee has authority to make a decision on, and it's in minutes, then that should be a resolution. But if the report is going to go to the House, and then that should be a recommendation, because it's going to be the recommendations of the House that it will, and those resolutions will not necessarily fall within the authority or the ambit of the committee. The House can have to make a decision or the authority to monitor the report back on those recommendations. So she said then if it's in the minutes and it's something that as per the function of the committee, then it's a resolution. But if it extends beyond the committee and goes through the House, then it's a recommendation. Hence we changed to resolution.
So the committee identified the following resolutions. The department should provide the committee with a brief report. Reflecting the department's contribution towards the achievement of Millennium MDG 7 and 8, and we've not received MDG 7. The committee will have 6 months lead to action for the department. Okay, and so on and so on. So it's not love life, it's love life. And so they should bring the committee on the programs. We should put that in somewhere. Love life and soul city. Okay. Thank you, honorable members. Can we get a proposer and a seconder for the minutes? Honorable Member Magagula.
I propose the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Member Magagula. A seconder, please.
Can the honourable members check whether
the 12th April, whether everyone's present. Bota Kenya, Magagula Masil Baba, Swete, D.A. Lamula Pane, IFP, Makuba, Kob, Kume, Independent Democrats, Paulsa, and then we had two apologies, Mr. Hanyaho and Mrs. Mafola, who have joined us now full time. Yeah, she was supposed to come and show us the baby. We still need to have a baby party. Opening and welcome. Then we adopted the committee, the draft committee report on strategic and operational plan of the department and its entities. And we also adopted in that meeting the draft minutes of the 9th of April. And the committee agreed that love life, because there's no love line. Only love line, I'm sure, on the internet. Yeah. Should be invited to leave the committee on the programs it is involved in. Remember, it was on the 19th, it was the same resolution. And the committee resolved to invite the health and welfare center to brief it on its programs, and also invite the committee, and also provide the committee with a list of its projects and contact details. So we need to follow that up. The meeting closed at 12:30. Can we get a proposal? Honorable Member Masilo.
I do propose the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Member Makuba. A second. To the minutes of the 22nd of March. Present was Bota Masilo, Magagula Baba, Democratic Alliance, Namula, IFP Makuba, Kaup Kume, Independent Democrats, Paulsa. We had apologies from Honorable Members Kopane, Mafola, Kenyan, Swete. the agenda was the drafting of the committee's strategic and operational plan. Then we had the mandate of the committee, what it is. The method of work of the committee. Key issues emanating from committee work. Now, in terms of resolutions, the committee secretary should provide the committee with budget statements on a quarterly basis, and I think we should keep that at our next committee meeting. Oh yeah, but you can only do that in, let's do that in July, the 15th of July, because then you will have a three month expenditure. Am I right? Yeah, am I correct? Yeah. Because it will be, quarterly will be, no, it's April, May, June, July. So July, because after the 15th, you get your intermediary system. After the 15th of July. Can we save the first report? We just amend that first report after 15th of July. The committee should undertake an oversight visit to Northwest and Eastern Cape, and it will visit SASSA offices, its service areas and pay points, substance abuse, rehabilitation centres, old age homes, youth care centres, childhood households, NDA projects and cooperatives. Okay. So we already have that ready, so we will discuss it as of today. The committee secretary should make a follow-up with the Central Drug Authority regarding the table of its 2019 annual report, that has already been done. The date of the adoption of the strategic plan should be scheduled for the 29th of March 2011. Thank you very much. Okay. Pausa and the second appeal.
Honourable Member. Adoption. Operational plan of the committee.
We can make it available again. It's a strategic and operational plan of the committee. I'm going to ask the committee secretary just to redistribute it again for us. So it must be our handbook in our committee meetings. Yeah. Thank you very much, Honourable Member Masilo.
Draft minutes of the performance committee of the development meeting.
The material 390 Plain Street present. Bota Masilo Tswete Kaba. Pane, Lamola, Kume, Polsa. Apologies, Mafolo, Magakula, Kenya. Apologies.
Yes, on apologies. I just wanted to check with the secretary, but I know that she did send my apology, but she said she sent it. By the time she sent it, the secretary should have been at the meeting already. So that is why she didn't get it on time. That is what she said when I asked if she had forwarded my apology for me, but I will check with her.
Honourable members, in terms of the agenda, it was the 2011-2012 strategic plan and budget vote of the committee. I mean of the Department of Social Development. The chairperson welcomed the members. I think we've adopted this thing already.
We have.
Let's just go through the formalities again, but I'm sure we have. Okay. Okay, it's a minute, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, the report is a different matter, sorry, yeah. And the CDA, I remember we had that long day. Yeah, a meeting should be scheduled for the department, with the department, CDA and other, to report to the committee on the substance abuse summit resolutions. We haven't done that yet, right? So we still need to do that, with the substance abuse summit resolutions. The key manager program should be rolled out to as many schools as possible, including private schools. The entity should provide the committee with a report reflecting success stories in fighting against substance abuse, as well as a list of provinces wherein it provided. Is something wrong? The entity should provide the committee with a report reflecting success stories in fighting against substance abuse, as well as a list of provinces where it provides assistance. The CDA should embark on awareness campaigns to educate communities on the effects of substance abuse, and that professionals working at the rehabilitation centers should be well trained to deal with patients who suffer from various psychotic illnesses. The monitoring tool should be developed to ensure that programs in the rehabilitation centers are up to standard and that these centers have qualified staff. The last one is the CDA and the department should explore ways to address the lack of aftercare services communities for patients who come out of rehabilitation centers. That's a very important statement. The presentation of the South African Social Security Agency is there. Shouldn't 10 be resolutions? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think the last one is very important. On the foster care. Thank you very much. Can we get a proposal? Honorable Member Masila?
Just for proposal on page 2. If you could check the spelling of the executive manager. I think the managers have to misspell that.
Can you correct it?
Got it?
Marcelo, what are you saying about page 2?
Negative managers, but only the managers are misspelled.
Okay, thank you.
Adoption with the correction.
Thank you. Seconder? Honourable Member Paul Smutia, Honourable Member Twelve.
I second it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, we've got an invitation dated the 27th of May from the Department of Social Development on the 6th Annual Conference of the Population Association of Southern Africa that will be held in Bloemfontein from the 6th to the 7th of July. Now, there's two ways to participate in this conference: by attending to learn about current and emerging issues and participating in the discussions thereof. Also, if you want to register a scientific paper for oral presentation, and it then can also be presented by a poster presentation. Now, in terms of the PASA, if you look at the themes, will be sectoral impacts of HIV and AIDS that will be discussed, issues in fertility transition, demographic data methodology, African households and family structures, migration, health and development, vital registration and other administrative records, reproductive health and gender, morbidity and mortality, population policy and programs, demography of aging, population projections. I'm sure it sounds really interesting for some people sitting on my left. Yes. Now, that's why I'm saying that we all know that Ms. Nogenga and the researchers doing the master's degree in social policy, so they will all be really interested to attend. Now, there is a pre-conference workshop on the 4th to the 5th of July in Lesotho, and members should tell us whether they want to attend that workshop at Roma University. The 4th and the 5th of July. And then there's obviously a registration fee involved. 1,500 for non-members and 1,250 for members. So maybe you should also consider being a member of the Population Association. We should actually find out, because it's part of our population policy, it's part of our ambit for this possibility. Can we find out whether we can join? And obviously, I don't know whether this should go through to the Rules Committee for adoption, if you want to join this association, because it's good for Paul for committee to be a member. We should find out whether we should do that. Okay, honourable members, can we have an indication who of you would be interested to attend this conference in Bloemfontein? Or should we have a multi-party delegation of the committee to go there?
How many?
They don't say, but in my experience with the, remember the substance abuse summit, you wanted the whole committee to go, and then the house chairperson said, no, the whole committee can't go. So why don't we look at a multi-party delegation?
Coming by then, there were lots of the parliamentary cities and programs, hence the chairperson wanted the forum to be. Now, check whether on those days there will be activities for parliament.
Yeah.
And then if there is, then that we can proceed along with that. Delegation, but if there's no any activities, I think it's important for members to attend.
Yeah, the committee secretary just whispered in my ear that it's constituency parliamentary period. I think it's during the holidays. So can we apply for the whole committee to attend?
No.
Because it's in Bloemfontein, it's not out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those that all members be available during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also extremely interesting conference.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I delivered a paper once in my past life at that conference. It was very interesting. Can we say that we will we'll make an application for all of us to go, including the committee staff, and if there's any problems, we will just liaise with you. If the committee house chair says no, and because it also has to go by the chief of.
Okay.
But we will make like a good motivation.
What about a parliament this
night? Parliament have to pay for the registration fee, not us. Honourable members, we're now going to the progress report on the oversight visit to the Eastern Cape and Northwest, and the forms that we need to complete for the oversight. I'm going to give over to the committee secretary to take us through.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members, I just want to inform you that our application to undertake the oversight visit to Northwest and Eastern Cape has been approved by the House Chair and the Chief Whip. So the next step now is to write letters to our counterparts, which I'll provide the House Chair by this afternoon. And then thereafter, there are forms that have been created by our committee assistant just to indicate your point of departure, just for logistical arrangements. So, Chairperson, I think that's the process. With regard to the stakeholders and areas, I've spoken to Honourable Mafolo. She promised that we can meet this afternoon just to assist in identifying the stakeholders that we might visit in the Northwest. And I've already spoken to Honourable Chwete around that. Thank you.
So when is the date?
From the 27th of June until the 1st of July. And then I think we members, we can depart on the 26th, which is on Sunday. And I don't know whether we can start to Eastern Cape, and then 27th until the 29th, and then on Wednesday to Friday will be Northwest.
Thank you, Chair. I'll comment on the Northwest thing. I'm a Gauteng, but I worked there for more than 10 years. If we've already identified the areas in the Northwest, because it's so vast, the Northwest, it's got 40 streets and most rural. So maybe I don't mind if I can be... Four regions, yeah. But they're very vast.
Mm.
Because there's Eastern Bloc and Western and so forth. If maybe I could also be part of Honorable Mafole to assist. Because I did work in that area even when I was a chairperson of social services in the SOP. So that we may not duplicate the areas that maybe we have visited before. And let others, because normally when we give the provinces to identify the areas, they give us the same areas where everybody's giving them and forget about other areas, especially in the rural areas. They only take us where the tarot is in the cities. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, can we do that, and then we can just respond timely to that. One One issue that we, I think we need to keep in mind, and I can ask the Honourable two members to, just to keep this in mind, that because of the time constraints that we have, you see, if we go too deep rural, we're going to take time in terms of travelling to the nearest airport and flying out. So we can always come again, go again to some of the other areas. But let us look at areas that, how many days do we intend to spend in Northwest?
2 days.
2 days in Northwest and 2 days in?
In 2.5 days.
It's too little, no? Where are we going
there? No.
Okay, you know what? Can I make a suggestion? Why don't we go to one province now and to another one in August?
Yeah.
You know, just to make a significant impact.
Yeah.
Why don't we leave the Northwest for now? Let's go to the Eastern Cape now. You know, it's cold, and we can travel in the Eastern Cape, because, and then we can then go to those rural areas in Northwest also. How does that sound? Yeah? So then you will work out on what will follow a good program for us in Northwest that scans 5 days. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. With the Northwest, you will indeed. And then let's just concentrate on the Eastern Cape. Okay. Right. Yeah, we're going to the CET in Mount A level. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I was just suggesting that we should have definite days when we visit provinces so that we have a consistent number of days. Mm-hmm. We don't see ourselves this time, we're going to this province, we spend 2 days, then we spend 8 days, then 5 days. We have to have consistency on number of days.
No.
That's why we say 5 days Northwest, 5 days Eastern Cape. So in August we go 5 days Northwest, which is July and August, so we have a very busy time. Okay? Thank you very much, Honourable Members. The meeting's adjourned. Yes.
Chair, I'm just a little concerned. When I was checking the resolution of all the meetings, I was thinking that can we have some sort of a plan? How are we going to see that we achieve those resolutions in terms of when we also put ourselves some sort of a time frame? Make sure that you achieve those resolutions. It mustn't just be a lip service.
Let me ask the content advisor just to make an analysis in terms of our strategic plan that we have set as ourselves as a committee. For the work so done so far, what have we achieved? Right? How have we fared? And she can make a presentation to us in the next meeting. And that's why I asked him also to distribute the strategic plan and the operational plan of the committee to all members now. So you bring it to the next committee meeting and we look at the report that Yolisa has also drawn up for us. Make it a PowerPoint presentation, please. Thank you.
Okay. There's the budget vote of our class services.
Yes, thank you very much for that. There's a health, the health budget vote in E249, and as a social cluster, part of the social cluster, we have to be their social development at 2 o'clock. Okay, thank you. Honourable members, just before you go, Honourable Margaret Gula, there's a form that you have to fill in for the oversight, please. No, you can't start oversight on a Monday because Monday is party day, constituency day.
So can we start, let's start our oversight on a Tuesday. We can travel the Monday.
Off record, if I happen to